Ryan Gorman here with Dana McKay and Jason Berenger in for James Berlander this morning. And now let's go to the Holland Group hotline. Check them out at askthehollands.com and bring in our market and air travel expert, Jay Ratliff. You can find him online at daytradefund.com. Again, that's daytradefund.com. Jay, it's great to talk to you. So yesterday, one of the big stories, an increase or revision in the GDP numbers from the third quarter. They were revised up a bit to 5.2%, obviously a really great number. But when you take a bigger picture look at the state of the economy, not quite that hot. It has certainly cooled off a bit. But we saw spending at levels that we hadn't seen before between Black Friday and Cyber Monday. Travel, which we'll get to, which isn't cheap. I mean, record travel. People continue to spend despite some angst over the state of the economy.
That's true. And sadly, some of the debt, that personal debt levels, continue to increase. Yeah. That's a bit of a concern as well. But the idea is how much money's coming into the economy and what are we seeing that's being turned over. And there's pockets of good news. And you're right, there's a lot of times that we can focus on that and give some indication that, well, maybe things aren't as bad as we think, or we are kind of leveling off in some areas. But the bottom line is we're still fighting inflation, and we will continue for a matter of time. And that's going to impact us to one degree or another. So it always comes down to how it affects the average American, their families, their budgets, and their discretionary income. And as we move forward through this holiday season for the next month, it's going to be very interesting to see how those numbers all fall out as we begin to see exactly what's being spent and to what levels and on what, so that we can get a better understanding of which way, you know, things might be pointed.
Billionaire investor Bill Ackman, he made some news recently saying that he believes interest rate cuts are coming. This is something that we've talked a lot about. But now you've got a prominent investor predicting that. Does it seem like that could be something we'll see towards the first half, let's say, of 2024? You still think that's a little further down the road?
I think it's further down the road, but look, I'm with you. I'm hearing a lot of individuals say massive interest rate cuts, and they're saying as early as March. And, you know, if I'm Jerome Powell, the Fed chair, I have to think, what language do I need to speak to properly convey to everyone that we have a 2% inflation target, and that's what we're sticking with? And obviously, when you look at where we're at versus how long it's going to take to get there, and recognize sometimes how slow that needle moves, Ryan, I just don't see in the near future how that's the case. And I don't mind the opinions of a lot of people, many of which who are far smarter than I'll ever be. But the problem is when people read those headlines, they make decisions based on what they think is going to happen.
Yeah.
And they put themselves into a financial pickle. And if things don't happen as fast as the experts say, then, you know, you go from there. And look, there's been too many times over the last 25 years of me watching the market that I've seen individuals or groups of individuals talk about specific sectors or stocks or what have you about things that are going to happen, only to find out that the exact opposite took place. So I'll certainly respect anyone's opinion that they happen to have. But when you look at how long it's taken us to get to the point we're at now and how much longer it might take us to get to close to that 2% level, I just don't see anything happening fast that's going to accelerate that process unless Jerome Powell just says, look, I've decided to, you know, completely change our goal game plan here, where we're going to exit, you know, at maybe 3% or what have you, in those types of things. But I don't see him changing. They've had a game plan that they've stuck with, and I suspect they're going to continue to do so.
We're joined by our market and air travel expert, Jay Ratliff, who you can find again online at daytradefund.com. Let's talk about air travel now. And you had said going into the Thanksgiving holiday that Sunday was going to be the busiest travel day of the year. Became the busiest travel day in history.
It was. And, you know, it's surprising because we have thousands of fewer flights in the schedule because we still have a pilot shortage. We still have hundreds of airplanes that are parked on the ground, silver revenue tubes that airlines would have loved to have had operating during the 12 days of Thanksgiving from the 17th to the 27th. But Sunday after Thanksgiving is always the busiest. We know that. That's not a hard call to make. But when we saw 2.9 million people fly that single day, it was exceptional. And Ryan, the two kind of PS notes to that was, I heard from people across the country that day that were traveling. And they said, Jay, I don't want to jinx anything, but it looks like any other day of the year. The TSA was fully staffed. They were getting people through security checkpoint in record numbers. The airlines had all their personnel, all hands on deck. It was a smooth, smooth day. Now, we did have some weather that impacted us on that Sunday, where we had, 20% of Delta flights delayed, 20% of United. But when you look at somebody like Southwest, they had 20% of their flights delayed, but they only had one flight cancellation system-wide on that day. So airlines, for the most part, did a very, very good job. But the airline that stood far and away above them all, surprisingly, to me at least, was American Airlines. They operated like 60,000 flights, canceled 53 departures, something like that, most of them weather-related. They just knocked it out of the park. And when you've got a hub in Chicago that was impacted by that weather like everyone else, and you still posted the numbers they did, I mean, it's a shame they're not making money. They're still losing money, but goodness, Ryan, they had an incredible 12-day run, and we hope all the airlines are going to have this much of a fortunate experience for us the last half of December as we approach the next holiday travel season.
What do you attribute the fact that the airlines seem to get it right this time around? What do you attribute that to?
You know, in the past where we've had people drop the ball, it has been one of two things. It's either been a massive weather event, which has impacted flight operations, which we did not have. The other thing was a computer technical issue where the computers that were being used by whatever airline were taxed because of the fact that they were being required to do more than ever before, and they just melted, they crashed. And we didn't have that, thankfully. Of course, that was the issue that we had with Southwest Airlines last December when their crew scheduling software program, that computer from the 1990s, thank you, crashed when they were trying to do all they could with that. So I think those were the two things. And I can't leave out the air traffic controllers. I mean, they were staffed as well, made sure everything kept operating smoothly. So from a team effort, all those same players are going to have to show up. And yes, I'm going to be holding my breath on the computer side the last half of December. But we get through that, and we'll be in good shape.
Our air travel and market expert Jay Ratliff with us this morning. You can find him online again at daytradefund.com. That's daytradefund.com. Jay, really appreciate the update this morning. Thanks so much for coming back on.
It's my pleasure. Thanks, Ryan.